All Detroit has a cancer. The cancer is crime.
The light that burns twice as bright burns half as long. And you have burned so very, very brightly, Roy.
Could be a monkey or an orangutan.
A bald monkey?
You know how I cracked them? I don't know how you did any of this.
Is it Terrace?
This came from someplace else.
What do you mean, like Europe?
No, Robbie, not like Europe!
Would you like to know more?
It's recording. I have a flashing record button. We've got cables. There's an SD card now.
Please don't say shit or fuck.
Please don't say fuck, shit or bugger.
Oh, shit. 70 times in the variety show.
So how much was it again?
71 or 70... Yeah, 71 times we
won't
swore.
Say the split. We won't spoil the split.
No.
Yeah. The swears.
Turns out we like swearing. Who would have known?
Yeah. That sounds like a really large number.
So I went through the transcript, and obviously this ruining it for the variety show, but oh well. I went through the transcript, and I got through the transcript about 60, and I thought, oh, okay, fair enough. I missed a couple of bigs. They're counting even things like crap.
Oh, right. Okay.
And Jem got up to before the taste test, and she's like, there's only like 25 swears. Are you sure you counted it right? And then taste test. Oh, boy. That's where all the swearing is.
Oh, right. Okay. We really did or did not like some of that stuff.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, people can go back and listen, can't they?
Yeah, I think so.
Red thingy. Moving toward the green thingy. What?
So, this welcome, I suppose, to episode three of the Untitled Sci-Fi Show. So, how did everybody get on with last episode's Guess the Intro? I wonder. We have a winner.
We do finally have a winner. It wasn't on the first episode.
No, we had a few entries. Only one of them actually gave me the full amount. I got a couple where they were missing out one. But the only person that sent, and they were actually the first person as well to send it, is my friend Stiddy.
Stiddy!
He is the first ever winner and the only one who's ever going to win a prize.
That's very true.
We'll guess the intro. So well done, mate.
Yeah, your £10 voucher will be on its way to your email at some point soon.
Would you like to relive it and try and have a guess of what they are?
Oh, go for it. I can't remember what they were.
Here we go.
Nice night for a walk.
Today we are cancelling the apocalypse!
Right, you've had two there already.
So, I honestly can't remember.
So, nice for a walk. Nice night for a walk is the Terminator.
Oh, is that the Terminator?
It's the Terminator, yeah, the first one. And then, cancelling the apocalypse is the kaiju film.
Pacific Rim.
Yeah,
Pacific Rim, and if you had a porn version, it would be Specific Quim.
Specific Quim. Or just a specific rim.
Yes, Pacific Rim job.
What's the problem?
I think you know what the problem is just as well as I do.
Well, that's 2001 A Space Odyssey.
That's it, yep.
This is my security chief, Alara Katan, my chief medical officer, Claire Finn, and my ex-wife, Kelly Grayson.
I love to deny our own impulses is to deny the very thing that makes us human.
Oh, God.
That's, I think, the one that got people.
That wasn't Christian Slater, was it?
No. This is Mouse.
Oh, shit. Yes, you're right. It's Mouse
Talking
of the Matrix.
Talking about the woman in the red dress.
Yes, and how he programmed her, and everyone's going, whatever, Mouse. Little did they know he dies. Ha ha. Spoilers.
Where are we going?
Up to my shack.
What the hell for?
Because when I left yesterday, I turned the lights off.
Now, sorry, it wasn't actually the mouse that got everyone. That last one is the one that got everyone.
Yeah, I don't know that one.
That is the thing.
Oh, shit. Of course it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, so...
Stiddy, you got a tenner on Amazon.
Well done. Good luck, everybody, for the next one. First person to send me every correct answer gets a shout out.
Yeah, I got 5 out of 6 on it.
You did, yeah. I think that one, the one that you didn't get, I think is a tough one.
That is
I'll
a
be surprised
very
if
tough one
it.
Because if you don't know it, you don't know it. That
absolutely, yeah, you would never. I don't think you. I picked a hard one for that one because I think the other ones are actually pretty easy.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, you're probably right, actually.
Could they be the miners?
Oh, sure. I mean, they're like 3 years old.
You have been a busy sci-fi beaver for the last fortnight, haven't you?
I've been adding to it and adding to it and adding to it.
To the point, everyone, that I was saying to him, should we not talk about a Galaxy Quest this episode? Because you've got so many things you've watched.
I wouldn't say that it's all sci-fi. I'd say a lot of it is geek. Do you want me to go just read them all out to start
just
with?
Go or should it. We no, just no, just talk go for it. Just talk about it.
Okay, first one on my list. I watched Snowpiercer from 2013, which is the Chris Evans film. Mm-hmm. Saw it on Netflix. It's been on Netflix for God knows how long. I keep looking at it. I keep seeing kind of the little Netflix running in the background. And thought, you know, I should probably watch this at some point. And have you seen it first?
I don't think I've seen it.
Okay. I don't think it's new. I think it was a couple of years ago. They then did a TV series version of it. Mm-hmm. It's not a terrible film. It's basically a world apocalypse film. The Earth fucks up with global warming. We come up with a chemical to spray in the sky that will cool the world down. It does that to the point that it turns it into the next ice age.
This is like an opposite of a CFC.
Yeah, kind of. And basically this weird, eccentric billionaire has built a train that never stops, that goes through all the continents of the world, and it's just on one loop, and it will complete a loop around the world every year, exactly.
Why?
And because it's what he wants to do, but this train was meant to be self-sustaining, so it never stops, it never breaks down, it's got its own food growth, it's got its own water production, it's got all of this, and he's built it because he always said that this chemical they're going to spray is going to end the world,
right?
And no one believed him, blah blah blah. And the idea is that the people that live it on it, the people at the front of the train are all the rich people, the people at the back of the train are the poor scumbags. So pretty much like British Rail at the moment.
Yeah.
If you're not in first class, you're scum. Yeah. You don't get a seat. And I guess really it almost kind of plays out a little bit like The Hunger Games, a little bit like Demolition Man, a little bit like all of those dystopian films, just based on a train. And it's enjoyable. You've got to kind of switch your brain off for it. Don't expect anything. Don't expect Oppenheimer or Merry Christmas Schindler's List quality of films of it, you know? It's one of those ones. You just turn off and watch it. You'll enjoy it.
Uh-huh.
If you start thinking about it, there's so many holes in it. Things like there's one point they're being escorted through the train once they've kind of finally killed off all the bad guys that are going to kill them. Mm-hmm. And they come to one of the carts is an aquarium.
Yeah.
And that supplies the fish for the entire. And it's just, it doesn't make sense. And you think about the size and what's going on. It just doesn't make, you've got to suspend disbelief for it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a bit shit when you really think about
it. How big's this train?
Well, it's massively long.
Is it just as wide as a normal train, though? Is it like super
wide? Well, this is it. It's pretty much as wide as one of the American trains that you see.
Right.
So, yeah, it's just like, it doesn't really work.
Yeah.
So you kind of switch yourself off. If you can switch yourself off from it, you can enjoy it. It's not terrible. It's by far not the worst thing I've watched in my time.
Mm-hmm.
If you're desperate for something and you've watched everything else, stick it on.
Yeah.
It's not bad. Then I followed it up with a Apple TV film, which I kind of ignored it. I've got Apple TV. I've got an Apple subscription for the family, so we get Apple TV with it. And the only thing I've ever watched on it was the new Fraggle Rock they created, which is just as good as the original. Really good fun. Jim Henson, if you didn't remember.
Yeah.
And they've got a load of films that they've made specifically for Apple TV.
Yep.
And one of them is called Tetris, and it's the story of the man who tried to kind of go and get the license for Tetris and sell it to Nintendo. And after watching it, I did a bit of reading, and if you read the interview with him, he's like, no, the film's pretty accurate. And it's amazing. He basically went out to Russia because Mirasoft ripped him off. So he tried to kind of get ahead of the game and say, look, I'm here. they're ripping you off. I'm being honest. And of course, the Russians being the Russians at that point are like, no, anyone coming here to try and buy something that's Russian is trying to take something away from us.
Yeah.
And he's warned, if you stay here, you're going to get killed. We are going to off you. And he stays there. And then he goes back with the Nintendo VCs. And by the end of it, they're kind of chased out of Russia by the KGB and a corrupt KGB officer who basically looking to shoot them on the spot if he gets hold of them. And they got onto a plane and they escaped just in time, basically. And that's the story of Tetris. And it's really worth watching. It's Taron Egerton plays the main character. And I was engrossed. I was really blown away. And I've never used to like those sort of films. So they're called biopics, aren't they?
Yes.
And the first one I kind of watched recently was The Founder a few months ago, which was the creator of McDonald's. And the McDonald's story and the bloke that basically ripped off. That. Yeah. Really good, really sad, because you realise the actual original creator of McDonald's, who had all the dream, got fucked over big style. Yeah, he's got nothing,
actor
basically.
In that plays Batman?
Michael Keaton. So, again, that's well worth watching. But no, Tetris was absolutely blown away with it. Just really, really, really enjoyed it. And then I followed that up with, again, a very similar, it's a biopic again, Blackberry over on Paramount.
Now, I'm pretty sure I've seen a few bits of that because I think one of the actors is in Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Sorry, I was having a drink then.
That's all right. Yeah, I'm pretty sure one of the actors is in that. So I've seen a few clips of him. It looks really good, that one.
It's really good. And again, it's very close to the real story, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And it is really how our research in motion started off as nothing, came up with this idea, and basically their joint CEO left his company and was kind of fired, basically, and just said, all right, I'm going to take a chance on you, and put a mortgage up on his house and everything like that, and they developed the BlackBerry, and boom, that was it. And then it's the kind of rise and fall of it. So if you're geeky, you'll really enjoy it. But as a story about something that basically happened in our lifetime, I remember when BlackBerries appeared, and
I
remember everyone saying, the whole Crackberry name, because people were addicted to them. It was a complete phenomenon that happened while we were alive. So seeing the film about it and seeing it from Canada's point and America's point and how it actually happened was really, really interesting.
They were very cool. And they had the BlackBerry Messenger, free messages to other BlackBerries.
Well, this is it.
You know, at the time where it was a premium to send a text message.
Well, don't forget the people that created BlackBerry. If the film's to be believed, the people that created the BlackBerry are geniuses. And obviously they went to one of the telecoms provider with their demo unit, and the joint CEO, who wasn't a tech person, still said, this is what we want to do. And he was almost laughed out of the room because they said, you're not a tech person, are you? We've already tried this and we could get 11 phones maximum on the network before we hit the limit. And he's like, oh. So he went out to like the geek and they've really tried it. And the geek barges in and said, so you put it on as a client, didn't you? And the bloke's, yeah, of course I did. And he's like, well, don't, how we're doing it. And he explains BlackBerry Enterprise server, basically. We'll build a server. Everything goes to that server. And then your BlackBerry will only need to connect to our server for this fraction of a time, which is the tiniest amount of bandwidth. And it'll be, you can have hundreds of thousands of units on there. And that's how it all took off.
Yeah.
And boom. And then they hit network. It's really, really, really worth seeing. Alien Romulus. Yep. I chose to watch that again. And really glad I did. Now, we discussed, I think, in one of the episodes,
it was last episode.
Yeah. The version of Rook that we see in the Disney Plus version is the one you saw in the cinema. Apparently, it's only the home release version that's had any fix to the CGI.
So
Blu-ray or DVD has a different version of the Rook CGI to the stream.
Okay, so I've seen the one you saw then.
Yes.
And I happened to watch a Corridor Crew video on YouTube today, and they very briefly mentioned it and showed you a side-by-side and did a little slide across.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so they must have another video. It was just like in part of a video for something else.
And how noticeable is the difference?
Yeah, for the very brief moment, yeah, noticeable.
Right. Difference. Okay.
When they showed you them side by side and did the little slidey thing across. I'd like to see if, I have to go through the videos and see if they've actually done a proper deep dive on it to have a proper look. So yeah, then that makes sense why I felt weirded out when I watched it, because I seen the one that you saw.
You've seen the same one.
People complain. So yeah, now I want to see the
Yeah, and the I mean, it one. Was so worth watching again, because there were little things I'd never, because obviously I was quite excited about seeing it in the cinema.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just in awe of kind of seeing that they'd kept the same style, the same standards, the same kind of practical look of everything. And yeah, the very first thing I didn't notice, the cousin is playing a video game, a handheld computer game. Mm-hmm. And when he dies, it's game over, man, game over, which is the aliens.
Yeah.
So there's that little bit.
Yeah, I missed that.
I still really don't like that they felt the need to take away Ripley's and rip off Ripley's get away from her, you bitch. There was just no need for that.
Yeah, I think...
And that still grates on me a little bit.
It was an over-egged nod. It was so much of a nod, the guy hit his head on the table because he nodded so much, didn't he?
Yeah.
It was... There was enough other stuff in there. And there's a nod to aliens in Galaxy Quest.
Yes.
The little one, Sigourney has a little moment.
Oh, that's...
We can get to that later. But... Yeah, I think all the other ones were all subtle enough and the kind of, yeah, we get it. But that one was really like, by the way,
yeah,
this happened in another film, just to let you know.
Exactly. It was a bit over the top.
Yeah.
I still think the actor that played Andy, phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Absolutely phenomenal. From the very beginning to the very end, yeah, absolutely brilliant. What was I going to say about it? And the one bit I really did miss, obviously, was Rook explaining what the special chemical that he's developed does.
Yes.
And yes, finally hearing it back, and he says it increases metabolism and speed of development and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
That then explains why the alien baby that comes out of her best friend develops so quickly. It's mm-hmm. because of the goo. So all these people that said, oh, it developed far too quickly. No, it was the goo. She injected herself. Obviously, it developed really quickly inside her, as we saw. She went in slim, came out with a baby.
Yeah.
So that kind of all makes a bit more sense now, because obviously I knew that had been stuck in her, but I didn't remember him saying it accelerates everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know why I missed that. But anyway, rewatching it, really pleased I rewatched it. Just absolutely amazing. Blown away by it. I think it's a very, very worthy successor to Alien. It fits really nicely in the story, actually, as a prequel to Aliens and a sequel to Alien. I can't see anybody's problem with it. I really can't.
I can't see anybody's problem with it at all.
So that was that. Squid Game.
Yeah, Squid Game's great. Maybe spoilers here, everybody, if we did go Squid Game. If you haven't seen it, maybe skip ahead.
Hello there. Have you missed me? Yes? Good. Look, just skip ahead about 6 minutes to avoid spoilers for Squid Game Season 2. In fact, skip ahead about an hour, listen to the outro, featuring yours truly, and save yourself the bother of listening to these two prats.
Just really fucked off. Really, really fucked off.
What?
They should just...
Well, because it's in two parts.
It's a cliffhanger, yeah. There's just no need for
that. Well, the next part comes out in like literally a week.
I know, in June.
Oh, it's in June?
It's June.
Oh, I thought it was sooner than that.
Nope, it's June. Oh. And there's just no need for it. No need for a cliffhanger when it's that good. I wouldn't have minded if it had been a bit pants and it was still a bit slow, but they'd got really a good speed going with the story. So I kind of feel like it shouldn't.
Would you like to know the cynical reason in it why I think that is the case?
Oh, it's
money. The same reason why sometimes they don't put them all out at once.
Money.
Is... because of subscriptions.
Exactly.
They want people to come back for another month.
Exactly.
People doing their free trials.
You know what? I'll stay for the next few months until that's there. Then I'll forget about it and I'll just have Netflix permanently.
Yeah.
No, 100% that's what it is.
Yeah, because people aren't cancelling their subscriptions and then starting them again. The normal person doesn't do that.
No, they don't. So that's exactly why they've done it. It annoyed me. Really good, though. Unlike the first season... Yes, the first episode was a bit slow, but what I found with the first season was the first two or three episodes were quite slow. This time, they got the speed right. You got the right amount of exposition in the first one, mm-hmm. and then the rest of it, boom, brilliant. Jem said it from an early point. She thought the sea captain was in on it.
Yep.
So that was quite cool. And obviously, that's the point. He's sabotaging the drone at that point. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe it's all innocent. We don't know, but I don't think so.
No.
I really like the story this time. Really like the story.
Oh, yeah, I really like the first one.
Oh, I did. But I think I prefer this season.
I went into it not expecting it to be as good just because sequels aren't. Sometimes, you know, it could easily have just been a bit rubbish, and it isn't.
A bit like the Saw franchise. Saw 1's good. Mm. Saw 2's pretty good, but the bloke died halfway through writing it, so it was taken over by an American, which is why there's quite a jolt change in it.
Yeah.
And then Saw 3 onwards just becomes gore for gore's sake.
Here's a question for you. So, you know, like Netflix will release an entire series in one go, mm-hmm. 10 episodes in one go. I kind of almost know the against my argument, because if they want to sell it to a television channel in another country or something. But at what point do you think they'll just give up with cliffhangering every episode and just call them part 1, 2, 3, 4? Just take a 10-hour long thing, mm-hmm. and just segment it into sections, or not even bother doing that. Just make it 10 hours long.
They've done
not
it already.
Not have all the cliffhangers. You just pause it when you want to pause it.
Oh, I see what you mean. No, sort of right. Yeah, okay. I don't know. Possibly.
Do you think they'll do that? I know that, you know, obviously it used to be that way because you're spreading it across weeks or whatever.
Well, don't forget, you could technically do that with any of the Lord of the Rings films, couldn't you? Especially the director's cut version of those films. You could put those all up on streaming, and it's just like, well, that's 8 hours, isn't it, the director's cut?
I have watched them all in a row.
Exactly.
So
it's like 8 hours. You could put that on streaming and just say, mm-hmm. we've chaptered it. You stop when you want.
Do you think it's a psychological thing? People would see a 10-hour... Because, like, I haven't watched The Irishman because it's, like, 3.5 hours long, and I'm like, oh, do I want to sit
and that's
there
why
and
I didn't see
it?
Wicked. I didn't see Wicked. Two reasons. I didn't want to sit my ass in the cinema for 3.5 hours or however long mm-hmm. it was. And also, I didn't want to have to wait for part two.
Yeah.
So I'll wait for it on streaming and then I'll watch it in chunks.
Mm.
So for things like that, and I think you're probably right, it is psychological. If I see anything above 2 and a bit hours, my brain can't, I just won't.
Yeah.
Unless I'm literally sitting down for a proper film session with Jem, I just won't bother watching it because it's just like, I can't face watching something that long.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, no, we were disappointed, but it was still bloody brilliant. Really, really good. And I really hope some of the characters that are still alive at this point survive.
Yeah.
I think I'd be a bit gutted if some of them die.
There's a character I actually really like. They're a soldier. The transgender soldier is one of my favorite characters.
I absolutely love her. She's brilliant in it.
Without getting too into the politics of it, they've done that really well. In my opinion, as someone who isn't transgender, from my perspective of it, I feel like they've done it justice.
So it's the reason they're there is to fund the surgery. And then I really love the fact that basically she says, I grew up as a boy. I was forced to do boys' things. My dad insisted, and obviously in Korea they've got not forced army. It's what do you call it when national service?
Yeah,
you have to do national service. Mm. And I love the fact that as soon as she's got a gun, she's like this crack shot with an MP5, and it's like, well, yeah, I was a master at arms sergeant, so.
Yeah, I want to know what the deal is with the two guys that are claiming to be...
So his friend was a Marine. I still reckon...
I think the other kid isn't.
I think the younger one, he's either got PTSD...
Yeah.
And he kind of got kicked out and he got the tattoo because no one was going to question it.
Yeah.
Or he's never done his national service and that's why he's doing the games and he got the tattoo... As a way of trying, I was, look. Mm-hmm. So that's my two thoughts on it. I'm not sure which
agree.
It's going to be.
It's one of those, yeah.
And then finally, good God, Minority Report.
Oh, I love that movie.
See, I watched it when it first came out in the cinema and I didn't like it. And I just think I was too young, I was stupid. I didn't really pay attention to it. And I just kind of thought, well, it's women in milk telling the future. Great.
And look, whenever you describe that film to me over the years, that's always how you describe it. That's stuck with you, that
it's,
milk.
No, and it's to do with Adam and Joe, because Adam and Joe rip the piss out of it, going,
okay.
They're in the oola pee pee poo poo women in the milky water.
That's how you always said it to me. I never knew that's where you got it from, something like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Straight from the XFM show they did. But
okay.
Having rewatched it, actually, it was brilliant. Really, really enjoyed it. I love the idea that the non lethal weapon that the police carry is six sticks.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's absolutely brilliant. There's still glaring holes in it, you know.
Absolutely.
Every second counts, except for while you're waiting for the little wooden engraved ball to roll down the ramp.
Yep.
Which we've made a spiral, so you have to wait that little bit longer.
Yeah, I know. I never got that. Just put it on the fucking screen.
Just put it on the screen. And by the way, nonce watch. He's going to nonce it up. Great. Go and arrest him before he does that.
Yeah, go do that
first. Just doing the murderers.
Yeah, we're not worrying about that. There's too many of those. We haven't got enough staff.
That's a Minority Report. Wipe that one. We don't care about that. We only care about the murders.
That is a literal Minority Report.
And there's your clip for this episode.
So, Minority Report and World War Z, and to a lesser extent, War of the Worlds. Three films that are, what's the term, like namestays or whatever the term is in this house for films. They are continually watched. They're never turned over when they're on. We talk about them all the time. The Mummy is another one. The Mrs. absolutely adored. She literally watched it this week.
I'm presuming you're not talking about the 60s Mummy. You're talking about the Brendan Fraser Mummy.
Okay, fine. Yeah.
Because the Tom Cruise one was shit.
That was awful.
And the Mummy 2 was crap. And the Mummy 3 was awful.
No, the first one's the only good one. Mm. And yeah, those four films are ones that we will always talk about. We always watch. Absolutely love them. Yeah, Minority Report is a firm favourite in this house.
Yeah, got to say, I don't agree with you on War of the Worlds. I prefer the original War of the Worlds.
I feel like I am in the Minority Report.
Pretty much little Tommy Cruise running a lot.
Oh, I'm a Tom Cruise man, though.
Well, I did wonder where you'd try and base your looks on, but... I really like the story to Minority Report. Having rewatched it with fresh eyes, an older head on my shoulders, actually, I really like the story behind it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot could have been done with it. A sequel could have been done with it as well.
Mm-hmm.
The precogs get kidnapped, or there was quite a bit you could have extended on if you'd wanted to.
I'm pretty sure the lady precog is in the zombie series, The Walking Dead. There's these characters who wear the skins on their like faces. They peel them off zombies and put them on themselves, and then walk amongst the zombies. And she's called Alpha. I'm pretty sure it's the same actress.
Okay,
pretty
fair
sure
enough.
Someone can tell me I'm wrong and I won't listen, but yeah.
Fair enough. Well, that's all the stuff I've watched. Last couple of bits I will bring up. I should have brought this up a couple of episodes ago.
Mm.
Will Smith's gone and done something weird.
No.
Yeah, I know. Highly surprising, isn't it? A few weeks ago, he posted on social media on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. I do know this.
A Matrix sort of thing saying, wake up, Will. And it's just like all in the Matrix fashion. And that was it.
Now, I think it
might... The Wachowski sisters have said, we're not doing anything with him. We're not doing a new Matrix. We're not doing a reboot of the Matrix. I know, you've already just done one. That's why. We're not. Mm. He's not Neo. He's not anything to do with us. So I don't know what it's about. But apparently he was meant to be.
I was about to say, I'm pretty sure he was on the cards. And you know what he did instead?
Wild Wild West.
Wild Wild West. I fucking hate that movie.
Wild Wild West.
I hate that film. It's so bad.
It's terrible. And he chose that over The Matrix. And I'm so glad he did.
Where did I hear the story? Someone had the story of that spider thing was meant to be in a different film but got cut. And they just writ the guy who directed it was so desperate to use that spider that he shoved it into Wild Wild West.
Really?
Yeah, maybe that was a Corridor Crew again. I don't watch them all the time. I've had two references to them in this episode alone. Maybe it was a reference that they brought it. I can't remember where I heard that. But yeah, he was desperate to use that stupid fucking spider.
Yeah, it was just fucking stupid.
It's a shit movie. If you haven't seen it, just save yourself the trouble.
just don't.
And Will Smith's a piece of shit at the moment. I can't stand him. I used to love him, but after that thing at the Oscars, I just like, you know what? Just piss off, mate.
And the final thing, Hulu is developing a reboot of Buffy the Vampire Slayer with Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Now, reboot's an interesting term. So, I'm reading here.
It just says, in talks to reprise her iconic role as Buffy Summers, the project is described as a follow-up to the original series.
Right, follow-up.
Being written by Nora and Lilla Zuckerman, and it's circling a pilot order with Gellar expected to feature as a recurring character.
Okay, so that's what I was going to say. So they have done other Slayer-type things, I'm sure. Because they had Faith was the other Slayer, wasn't it, when Buffy died, and then Faith became the Slayer, and then she stayed a Slayer when Buffy was alive again.
I can't remember the later series. I loved the first few series. I had them on VHS. I bought them at Woolworths when I was working there. So what happened every new year, what we'd do is we'd go out to the stock room, and anything that was damaged but still worked or missing a cover would get an elastic band around it, and it would get a really, really drastically reduced price. And I got series 1, 2, 3, and 4 of Buffy on VHS. It was like 6 VHSs for each series, and they were all missing the really thick cardboard cover.
Yeah.
And I bought them for £2.50 per three videos.
Nice.
And even back then, that would have still been like a £20 box set otherwise. Mm. So I got all of those, and I did watch the later seasons, but the earlier seasons are fantastic. They're just fun. They're cheesy. Yeah.
My Buffy lore is a little bit ropey. It's been a long time. But Spike, I really enjoyed Spike, and interviews with the actor since, he had a really tough time in some of them. He had a real tough time. One of the episodes, he has to force himself onto her sexually, and he really struggled in real life with that. He had to have counselling because of it. He didn't want to do it. He kind of was forced into doing it. One of my favourite parts of the whole thing is two bits. There's a great singing episode.
Yes, the musical episode's brilliant.
And we've discussed this privately to do with shit show stuff. When they introduce her sister... And they just, the series just starts with a new character. Yeah. Everyone knows who they are apart from the audience. And I loved that at the time. I love it now. It's such a cool piece of writing. And I can't remember how long it even takes for them to really...
As that was them introducing Michelle Trachtenberg as Dawn, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, what a great idea. What a great idea.
And I think that must have been the same. I think that was the same series that Spike is. He eventually becomes good or doesn't become, and he starts living. And is it Xander's basement he's living? Because there's a brilliant part at the beginning of the series where every time they go and find him, he's trying to commit suicide in the basement, and he's got like a spike on the floor, and he's trying to throw himself on it.
Do they give him his soul back?
Something
because
like
that's
that.
What Angel is, isn't it? He has his soul back, and then if he feeds or falls in, has sex, something, he loses his soul again and goes nuts.
As that was a series I never got into, Angel, never bothered it. It David Boreanaz, and it's just kind of, it felt very much like, we got Buffy, and I'm sure this is wrong, I'm sure it is.
Are you going to say something controversial?
Possibly, but Buffy the Vampire Slayer was sex on legs for boys, and the girls got Angel because apparently David Boreanaz was sex on legs for girls.
Well, he is definitely sex on legs for men too.
Yeah, to be fair.
I think he's an attractive dude. But they did take the lady who started off as being a bitch and then was actually nice.
Oh, what, Cordelia?
Cordelia, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm intrigued to see what they do with it. I'm hoping they don't ruin it.
They have the singing demon in Angel.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I just hope they don't ruin it. I hope they don't basically change it up massively. It's a good series already.
Well, they're not going to have the original creator, are they? Because he's been cancelled.
Yes.
What's his name?
I can't remember because he also did Firefly, which is just an amazing series. And even the film was good.
The film was basically a film version of the series, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought so. I've only seen a few episodes of the series, so... I've watched the film.
Oh, you've
got
to
really
watch all of them.
It.
They're so good.
Yeah. It's only one series, right?
Yeah. One series, and that was it, starring Nathan Fillion.
Well, that's been half an hour of you talking about of you talking about your last your Fortnite. What about games? You been about games you've been playing? You've been completing every game under the fucking sun for the competition. Well, what you've been doing?
Let's talk about that another time, shall we?
Okay.
Never give up. Never surrender.
Right. Well, I've not been as entertaining and as busy as you.
Good.
Over the last fortnight. So we've watched Alien, Aliens, and we've started Alien 3. I just want to mention how much I spunk over the noise of the guns in Aliens. Oh, what a great noise. Possibly the greatest machine gun assault rifle noise in film.
And it's used on all of them. Whenever you see a pulse rifle, it's the same sound. And it was carried over to the video games. Alien versus Predator, yes. The original game. It was the same sound. You felt like you were in the films.
So we haven't played the Alien game together yet. So the World War Z have an Alien game. I don't think it's the same company that make it, but it's on, might be on Game Pass. I've played it a little. I absolutely adore it. But it's, I want to play it with someone else.
Yeah, let's do it.
I haven't finished it yet, so I haven't done every level yet, so I'd like to play that with you. I just go around with the, like, well, the, one of the classes has got the pulse rifle and also the auto locking on
heavy machine gun. Yeah.
I just use that because that's so fun. Yeah.
Oh, we do need to play that.
So let's play that.
You say it's like World War Z, is it?
It's World War Z, yeah, but Alien.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be something like Fireteam, where it's kind of that semi isometric.
Nope, work. It is. Imagine World War Z, but instead of zombies, it's aliens. Necromorphs.
Oh,
different styles of necromorphs, spitting ones, giant ones. Yeah,
I am really cool. Up for that.
In a space station, so you're not on the Nostromo or anything. You're like, it's a space station. You're going through different bits of it, and then, yeah, leveling up your weapons, leveling up your class.
Yeah.
Yeah, all that stuff.
So one game that I must...
It's three people, not four.
Oh, okay. I must go back and complete Isolation. I still haven't to this day.
I can't. I'm too scared. Such a pussy.
It's such a gorgeous game. So, think about how long ago it came out, and it looked fucking amazing. And it still looks amazing to this day. And you're right. I got to the point that the alien was becoming way more frequent, and I kept hiding in the same locker, and I kept on getting it go past and thinking, oh, I'm safe. Blech.
So I would play it when it came out. I was playing online and I was always in Discord with some friends of mine at the time, and they always used to laugh at me. And one of us was like, you've got to record yourself playing this because I'm such a wimp and I overreact so much. I really like egg it up, not on purpose, it's just my personality. And yeah, I'll be screaming like a little girl when the alien was catching me. I just had to stop playing it because I'm too much of a wimp.
No, I agree. There were bits of it that I know freak people out. The android section, if you ever got to that, where you've got to go through and you've just got all red-eyed androids coming towards you. That was quite creepy, but that's fine. But it really is when the alien starts appearing on a regular basis and you really do have to go into that kind of creeping mode. Oh, I don't like it.
Yeah. Well,
and apparently on the PC one, I don't know. I don't think it's on the console one.
I've played the PC one. That's what I have.
On the PC one, there's an option to enable your microphone. So the alien can hear your microphone.
Well, this is what I was about to say. So I've committed us to playing the VR one that's already out on like the PlayStation, but we don't have that. So we're waiting for it to come out on the whatever it is that we've got.
On the Quest.
On the Quest, which I think is next week or the week after.
Yeah, I think it's towards February payday.
Yeah. So we're going to get one of us. I'll get it and we can just share it. However we do that. I don't know. No, just swap the headsets.
No, we'll both
but
get it. We'll
I want to record us playing it. If we figure out a way that we can get the footage and record us playing it. Because I really want to try that. So they're the films we've been watching. And I've nearly finished Tinykin on the Steam Deck to add to my list of games I've completed.
Excellent.
And that's it, really. Mine's a lot shorter, 4 minutes.
Yeah, I've been watching a lot.
Such as Galaxy Quest.
Galaxy Quest.
Hey, don't open that! It's an alien planet! Is there air? You don't know!
Galaxy Quest, starring everyone's favourite conservative American, Tim Allen.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so this is 1999 Tim Allen, where everyone liked him.
Yeah, we still had Tim the Tall Man Taylor, basically. yeah, and then... The Santa Claus. great film. And then, yeah, when he wasn't such a cock.
So we've got Tim Allen. We've got the beautiful Sigourney Weaver.
Oh, because she's so hot in this. I'm not going to lie. She looks so good in this.
I don't care if we sound like so chauvinistic bastards.
Well, I'm going to sound it because, my God, she has a cracking pair of tits.
Miranda asked me this question when we watched it. She's like, does she not own any bras? Because we've gone through three Alien films, this. It's just like, Sigourney never has a bra on.
Yes, very true. Alan Rickman.
So we got Tony Shalhoub is...
Fred.
We've got Alan Rickman, Sam Rockwell.
The Sam Rockwell one is what always gets me because he's done such a weird variety of films. He's done this. He then plays the... cat, stop biting me. Jesus. He's the serial killer in The Green Mile.
He is, yeah, yeah.
And then he's done like Moon, which mm-hmm. is one of the best sci-fi films that's ever been made. He's just got such a huge range on him.
He's in a lot of stuff. And you forget what he's in as well. That's yeah, the, you just forget that he's in. Oh, yeah, he's in that.
You forget he's in this.
And then Daryl Mitchell, who I only know from this. I have to admit, I only know him from this.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't actually look at what other films he'd done. I knew what other films other people... Oh, he was in Inside Man and 10 Things I Hate About You, apparently.
Oh, okay.
Oh, he was in 10 Things About You. He's the teacher.
I don't remember that show.
It was a good film. It was a good film. And Kat, if you keep biting me, I'm going to kick you off the table. Yeah, huge all-star cast. I mean, Alan Rickman, bear in mind, in 2 years' time, he's Snape.
Yeah. And what a great job. All of them, again, like we had with, what was it we did with Flash? Everyone, we really enjoyed Flash Gordon.
Flash was brilliant. But
everyone is doing a great job in this. Everyone is playing their roles how quite clearly it's meant to be.
Oh, the thing is, if you read up on the notes of it, Alan Rickman doesn't do comedy film. Can you name a comedy film he's been in?
Well, Love Actually is a rom-com.
Yeah, and he doesn't play a comedic role, does he? He plays the semi-serious role of the serial adulterer. So it's not even then he's still not doing a funny role.
I suppose
but
not.
But this, he said, I found the script really funny. I really wanted to do this, which apparently was unusual.
He's playing the straight man.
He is playing the straight man, yes.
Yeah.
I like, yeah. You won't get me to go out there. The show must go on.
You use that line of me again. There's so many bits like that in it. As like with the last episode, we're just going to go all over the place.
All the actors they chose for the aliens, excluding the green insect alien, all of the Theramians or whatever they were called, just look eccentric and weird, and it's brilliant.
I haven't read it yet, but Adam Lightly Used podcast sent us a link to, I think it's like a website saying how it's a masterclass in acting the aliens.
It's really highly rated. It was at one of the big Star Trek Las Vegas conferences, included in the top Star Trek films. So that, like Undiscovered Country, Wrath of Khan, Galaxy Quest. It's not even Star Trek.
Yeah.
And a load of the sci-fi stuff. J.J. Abrams says that part of it is the original 2009 Star Trek film with Chris Pine, the first one he did. There's a bit where they're trying to lock on with the transporter. And he said, that's straight up Galaxy Quest, which it is.
Yeah.
I never thought about it until I read that. It's like, oh shit, yeah.
Yeah.
So many people give it so much respect. And they play all the roles exactly as you expect them to. It's clearly he's trying to be William Shatner.
Oh, absolutely. He's just William Shatner turned up to 11. And Shatner's at 10 already. So they've just gone...
And apparently Shatner's been asked about it. He's like, oh, I didn't recognise myself in that. Or I didn't recognise
it.
I recognised the character that was being... playing the Uhura-style character, but shut up, Will.
Get out your own arse. Yeah, it's clearly him. Now, the costumes and stuff were great in Flash. Now, the creature stuff, prosthetics in this are another level. They were incredible how good they were. And we mentioned this just before we started recording. I brought up to you Fifth Element because I was so convinced it's the same people that do Fifth Element, which was a few years before, but I couldn't find a reference joining the two together. Like, I even thought the machine guns that they were using, the aliens in Galaxy Quest, were the same guns that they use in Fifth Element. But yeah. I couldn't find any reference between the two of them.
Oh, that's interesting. See, the digging I did found that actually it has more tied in with Star Trek than I thought.
Mm-hmm.
The ship was done by Industrial Light and Design,
mm-hmm.
which was the same people that did the Enterprise
yep.
and did all the filming for Next Generation and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So there's quite a lot to it. And obviously you've got all the bit that they're taking the piss out of. I don't know if you noticed, did you notice the registration of the ship?
It gets scratched out.
Scratched at the very beginning. It's NTE and a number.
Yeah.
Do you know what NTE stands for?
No.
Not the Enterprise.
The Enterprise.
Which is absolutely
great.
Brilliant.
Sorry, have you got something in your bag? Because my cat is going nuts
bag. It's just my sweaty backpack and clothes. Your cat is adoring the smell.
She's got her claws out, so just kick her out of the way. Because she will start pulling on it.
Doesn't matter. It's only a backpack. Doesn't matter. But it's just so much has been clearly, clearly inspired by Star Trek.
I want to go back to the aliens. So
do. Which
one? The Questarians.
What, the green
one? No. So the Questarians are what they call the Trek fans. Sorry. The ones who need help, what are they called?
The Themerians or something like that?
Yeah, something. I loved them. And one of them, Rain, he's the actor called Rain, I can't remember his surname. He's in The American Office.
Yeah. Rain, is it him?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I can't remember anyone's name.
Is it Rain Wilson?
I want to say Wilson. I think it might be Rain Wilson, yeah. So he plays Dwight Schrute in The American Office,
yes.
Which is an amazing character. They all walk funny because, as you find out later, they're all squids. And they've been put into meat suits. And they've got this universal translator. And one of them, it doesn't work at first. And they take Tim Allen's character into a limo. And they're all chatting away. And then he's ignoring them and just flirting with the girl next to him. He's completely ignoring the three guys talking to him. And then he just starts talking to the girl. And she's not responding. And he's like, does she not speak? And he's like, oh, his translator doesn't work. And then she speaks and she goes, blah, 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 blah.
That's it, yeah.
There's so many bits like that. I was just like, oh, this is so funny.
There is so much with just the misunderstanding that the aliens have. I love the bit at the end where Fred's getting with Liliana or whatever, Lelena is it they call her?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like they start off kissing and then the next thing is this tentacle slaps on top of his head.
Yeah.
And then there's more and he looks at it like, oh, okay, I'll accept it. And then you've got Sam Rockwell going, oh, that's not right.
Yeah, it's gross. It's funny because if you think about that actor playing Monk, how much Monk would hate to be in that situation.
Yes. See,
and now
I've
he's playing
just,
this.
I've only just got into Monk and I'm really quite enjoying
it. It's so good. Yeah. Oh, that was during my uni time, I had a lot of spare time in the middle of the day. I'd always have Monk on. Always have Monk on.
Now, do you remember the fifth, I think it's the fifth Star Trek film called The Undiscovered Country?
Only three.
Or is it the fourth?
We've spoken
it
about
might be
the Undiscovered
sixth
Country.
You know what? I think it's actually the sixth film. Okay, well, the Klingon from Undiscovered Country. Do you get any idea where they might be getting?
Yeah, I wonder where they got the idea for the
so
bad
what
guy
I'm looking
from.
At, so the, I think that's Christopher Plummer, actually. I think that's Christopher Plummer playing the role. He plays a Klingon in The Undiscovered Country and he's basically got mm-hmm. this metal eye patch bolted to his skull. And that's exactly where they've taken the idea from for the bad alien in this.
The bad alien dude after the first encounter.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, of course.
Because the first time he doesn't have that.
No, which is a nice little thing they've added to it.
Yeah. I've got just a massive just list of stuff here. I really enjoyed the weird liquid teleportation device they were using He just stands on a pad and gets encased in goo and then shot off into space.
And again, you've got all of them just there going, oh my God, what's going on? And then the aliens come in their squid form. And then Fred lands, what's wrong with them? And just walks off like it's absolutely normal.
They all got the thing going to get probed. One of them gets the thing shoved in his ear. And these three weird squid guys.
Now, allegedly, the story goes, and Sigourney Weaver's been interviewed about this, and these are her words allegedly.
Right.
And that scene where she jumps out of her skin when Sam Rockwell screams, she wasn't expecting. No one, apparently, Sam Rockwell just chose to scream. And that's why the shock and the jump on her was so real, because it was. It was 100% her going, what the fuck's going on?
It's quite funny because it's suiting his character just doing an eccentrically odd thing like that.
And are we very quickly saying with Sam Rockwell's character, because it's the sort of thing we'd probably forget. I love throughout the entire film, he's like, I don't have a surname. I'm going to die.
Yes.
What's my surname? No one knows. And then by the end, when they've got the next generation version of the show being shown, it's now Sam Rockwell and he's whatever his name was, and he's actually got a full name.
I've got it written down, so it's interesting. Security Chief Rock in Ingersoll.
That was it, Rock Ingersoll.
Yeah. So there's I wrote it in our chat, didn't I, about what Sigourney says. That's it. So one of the best quotes in that was, they're on the planet with those weird little baby alien things.
Oh, the blue things.
And she's like, we have to get him out of here because they're gonna eat him or something. I'm going to get the quote up. Hang on, but I'll just cut this bit out. Ah, here we go. Right. Let's get out of here before one of those things kills Guy.
That was it. Yes.
I don't know why that line tickled me so much, because because he keeps being worried that he's the one that's going to die because he's the extra secure, he's the extra character.
But I think what people need to take from this as well, we're talking about this as a straight up comedy film, which is exactly what it is. It's not anything special. It's absolutely nothing that you're going to be thinking about going, oh my God, that was really moving, really, really good. It was it was designed to be a comedy film, but so much effort in the filming style as well. There was no need, for example, when he's Tim Allen's basically drunk and semi-asleep on the floor of his apartment, and you've got the four aliens knocking at the window, there was zero need for beautiful camera technique of imitating his head looking up past the coffee table and seeing them. It could have just been a straight cut and done. No, so much effort was put into it.
And they tried.
Obviously, 1999, CGI, budget restrictions and everything like that. Some of it doesn't hold up wonderfully. I mean, there are some moments, like the rock monster's not brilliant. But...
oh, it's basically the same thing. The rock monster's the only bit that really I'll be like, it's a bit rapey.
But I love how they go back to it as well. They don't just abandon it. It's like, oh yeah, there's a rock monster and that's done. I love that there's like, let's use that again. Let's transport it into the ship and just have it absolutely obliterate the bad stuff. Brilliant idea.
You know, I also enjoyed that when they land on that planet and Monk just opens up, I'm calling him Monk, just opens up the door. And
oh yeah, guys, like, you don't even know we can breathe out here.
Is there air? You don't know. I was like, yeah, no. And she's like, he just steps out and just takes a big breath. It's like, it's fine.
And what a stupidly clever idea that, okay, they've watched all these things and they think that they're real and that they've managed to build this spaceship and it works based on what they've seen. So they've seen they've seen him flying the ship by doing this. So that's how he flies the ship. And it works exactly how it does in the TV show. And things like the walking down the corridor and you've got all the pistons going dun, 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 dun. It's like, why is Sigourney Weaver losing her shit going, well, it doesn't make sense. Why is this in a corridor? Why do we need to go through this? And it's like, well, it was in the show.
Oh, and they even programmed the computer to only respond to her because in the show, all she did was repeat what the computer
said. You've got that beginning bit. You actually had a role. All I did was repeat what the computer said.
Yeah. And then you can see Tim Allen's character just getting more frustrated every time she repeats what the computer's like, I heard.
Yeah, and they pushed it to the right limit. Now, it's interesting. Yeah. I don't know if you were in the Biffo's brain meeting when he did it, when he first showed the pirate clip for the Digitizer Level 2. But there's this entire beginning of one of the episodes of Digitizer Level 2 where it's with pirates.
Right.
And he said, it's really hard to tell when you're at the limit, you've pushed the limit, and now you've gone over the limit and it's no longer funny.
Right.
And with Galaxy Quest, they get so close to pushing over the limit, but they, every time, perfectly, is like, no, we're not going to go any further with it now.
Well, with that joke specifically, they did the joke on two or three separate occasions, and then they have that scene where they address the joke and they never do it again.
Yeah.
If it's in it, it's just accepted that that's it and the joke's not mentioned again. Then they did it right by doing that. And they didn't have one of the side characters just go, stop it, randomly, because then that wouldn't have been funny.
Mm. And the fact that they... Let's try that one again. And the fact they stay loyal to this fake TV show as well.
Yeah.
I'm guessing we haven't got a spare beryllium core. It wasn't on the show, so no, we don't.
Yeah.
Damn it!
Why would we have a spare one?
There's so much to love about this film, and I think it must have been heavily endorsed by Coca-Cola. I don't know if you noticed
that.
Yeah,
there's a good few Coca-Cola shots, yeah.
There's lots of Coca-Cola shots, and I remember that can design, funnily enough. Can you remember the name of the nebula?
Oh, I didn't actually write down any stuff like that, no.
So they came from the Klaatu Nebula.
Mm-hmm.
And the Klaatu Nebula is named, therefore, I'm guessing, because they've done so many sci-fi bits, is named after Klaatu from The Day the Earth Stood Still, which is the film that I was saying about. Basically, an alien lands on Earth and is basically tasked with, do I destroy the Earth or do we give them another chance?
Right.
And his alien name is Klaatu. Everyone thinks that's the big robot. No, that's Gorn. There's the big robot.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Klaatu. So that's obviously where they've got that one from. There's quite a few bits, actually. Another throwback to Star Trek, the original series. So when he's fighting the rock monster, Sam Rockwell's character, Guy,
yep,
shouts at him because he's saying, how can I destroy him? What can I do? Can you have a look around? Can you see if you can make anything into a rudimentary lathe?
Yeah, that's it. That.
Well, that's a piss take out of the original series. So there's an episode in the original series where Kirk is put up against the Gorn.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, the Gorn in the original series don't quite look like the Gorn from Strange New Worlds.
Not louder, yeah.
But in the original series episode, you've got William Shatner running around. He's like, if I remember my training, I need this, this, and this. And he makes gunpowder. And then he finds like a hollowed out bamboo thing and basically makes a rifle and kills the Gorn with a gun.
Mm.
It's just so beyond belief at that point.
I used to quote that rudimentary lathe thing with a friend of mine. I think whenever we were playing games and stuff. I'm completely forgetting where I heard it from over the years. And then hearing it in this, I was like, shit, that's where I got it from. That obviously stuck with me, that bit.
I think the only moving part, there is actually one moving part in this film that I thought was moving anyway. So you've got Alan Rickman's character. He's just rescued all of the aliens and Malthazar and stuff from suffocating.
Yep.
And he's got his alien friend that was hiding up in the ceiling in the corner to start with.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets shot.
Yeah.
And he goes, I'm shot. And then drops to the floor. It's like, oh my God, that's horrible. It was a really horrible scene. It's like,
yeah,
what you've had is like this comedic film, this brilliant comedy up to this point. And then you've got this traumatizing moment that then leads Alan Rickman just going and beating the fuck out
of
everything.
Well, then he does his little war chant thing. And the guy's like, the aliens are calm, but it's like the best thing to have happened. And then he's dead. Yeah. And then at the end of it, he does all that, kills those people. And they're like, Commander Taggart has saved us.
Yeah. It's like,
oh, fuck's sake. He never gets it.
So obviously, yeah, you've got all of that. I've got a note here, actually. The design of the bad guys felt very Babylon 5.
Yeah, I mean, I was saying Fifth Element.
You were saying, yeah, Fifth Element.
But Babylon 5 too, yeah, definitely.
They kind of had that feel. I would say, I think the thing that I noticed they cheaped out on, did you notice that a lot of the soldiers had the weird kind of wicker mask on?
Yeah, they were just people.
You could see, they'd got contact lenses in, but the rest of their face, a lot of them hadn't even got green face paint on
under
there.
They put it all into him and his first mate.
Yeah.
There's like one other character that you saw, and yet all the rest had those masks on. Yeah, I think it's also a bit, it reminded me a bit of Turtles, because it's prosthetics with animatronics in the mask. I think that's what it is.
Yeah, less freaky than the Turtles, because let's face it, the Turtles you could quite often see,
you can see
the person's face.
The yeah, that's a problem. I think there might be one bit where he screams and you can see the mouth inside the mouth.
Yeah.
I think there's one brief moment where like, ooh, that's a little rough, but never mind. You know, you just kind of look past it all the rest of the time. But, I mean, all in all, I had a great time watching it. I have a little comment to say about the minefield, how certain shots of it, it's clearly the mines are laid out in a grid formation, in which case drive in a straight line and you're going to be fine. And then when they ever did close-up ones, it was more scattered. But if you notice it...
Yeah, the initial time you see it, it's just line after line in straight lines, and it's a grid.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's because as they're moving through it, they're moving with them. I don't know if that's why it suddenly, when it's up close, it looks like, because they're obviously attracted to them being mimetic.
Yeah, maybe.
I was thinking maybe that's the case. But, yeah. And I'll tell you what, the bit we haven't talked about is Justin Long. A very young Justin Long turning up in the film.
Yeah.
Playing
the kid
who... The really geeky...
Knew the answers to
everything.
Fan of
everything with his friends. And that was kind of the one bit that kind of felt like, if you got rid of it, it really wouldn't have mattered.
Well, I mean, he had an important plot point, the fact that he was telling them how to actually fix the ship.
Yeah, and but the only thing really that kind of... That does is... It kind of was meant to show them that their show was still inspiring the current generation as well. You could have quite happily just gone, well, let's just risk whatever the 13 does. Or you could have had, well, I've got the script from the series that we never got to film and we use it at that point. Can you find it quickly? Oh, yeah, look, and that's what it does. You could have done it in a different way. I'm not complaining. I think it was absolutely fine how it was done.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously leaves huge questions, by the way. They've crashed a literal spaceship that's real into a convention centre.
Yeah, I thought the same
thing. And they get another TV series. Not, hang on, we can now do space travel because we actually have a spaceship.
Yeah, that I had the same thought too, yeah. And it's funny because it's almost like Picard.
Yeah.
If you think about it. Like, they... A long period of time later, they make another series and they're all older. And that coincides with what Picard did.
Yeah, yeah, fair enough.
Galaxy Quest did it first, Star Trek, Nernicke Nerner.
Another Star Trek throwback. I love the transporter part where there's like, well, we've not tested it.
Oh, and they warp the pig over.
Again, if you look at the very first Star Trek film.
It's okay.
If you look at the very first Star Trek film, they talk about how McCoy doesn't like transporters, and then they have the transporter go wrong on the Enterprise, and you don't see anything. You hear a noise, and then you hear Earth basically message back going, whatever rematerialized here didn't live long.
Yeah.
So you get the idea it was gross, whereas Galaxy Quest just went, no, let's just show it.
Yeah, and it was and just screaming like, blob.
You've got Tim Allen going, what was that noise? Oh, it was nothing, it was nothing.
Yeah.
It was nothing? It was Inside Out. I heard that.
Yeah.
Oh, and it exploded.
Yeah, that's I think one of the best scenes was the teleporter scene. Absolutely.
It's just again how the people that were playing the aliens, Mouth of Azar, and so just kept a straight face doing what they did, because it's just like, oh,
and
I couldn't have.
Every one of them. There was loads of them that played. There must have been 30 or 40 people, and they all walked the same.
Yeah, they
all
clearly
all went
to
the same walking
school. Same facial mannerisms.
Yeah.
Could make the same noises, same mouth shapes.
Everyone was on the same page.
Yeah.
Clearly they were on the same page. Someone come up with the idea and they went, no, you're all doing this because you're all squid men that look like this.
And they ran with it.
Yeah. It worked. It was great. And then what we alluded to earlier, the aliens quote, ducks, why is it always ducts?
Yeah,
they have to crawl for Sigourney has to crawl for some ducks. It's all like that. We've been going on for a long time.
I was just
going
to say, the last thing I've got, there was no need for the windscreen scene, but I'm so glad it was in there. They're on the enemy ship, and he's like, my guards have been, what do we do? And then, thwack.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was quite funny.
No, fair enough. Galaxy Quest, it's not aged. It's still as good as I remember it. Mm-hmm. I had it on VHS in the purple cassette box. Loved it.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it. Even with the, you know, the fucking stuff.
With the problems with who may be in it now, if you choose to ignore that, it's still a bloody good film.
Yeah.
And I would say actually Sigourney Weaver and Alan Rickman steal the show.
Yes.
They, without them, it wouldn't have worked, full stop.
Mm. I think they're all great. I think it's more that you couldn't change one of them. You couldn't take one out and put a different person there.
Don't forget, though, and I think it's a bit of a piss take, actually, to an extent, that they've done against Tim Allen in this. This is the era that Tim Allen was at the top. He was everywhere. You know, he was the equivalent of The Rock and Vin Diesel now with fucking Fast and the Furious and whatever. You wanted to do a comedy film, you wanted Tim Allen involved.
Yeah.
And that's what Galaxy Quest was. But genuinely, you could have stuck anybody else of that era into the role of the commander because every other person in the roles that they had made that film more than Tim Allen did.
Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yes, he would have done that, wouldn't he? He would have had a go.
Oh, 100% he would have had a go. I mean, if you look up 90s comedians, I reckon you could find a dozen that would have done the job just as funny.
What was that noise?
But Sigourney Weaver's character, I don't think you could have had anyone else. Mm. I don't think Alan Rickman's character would have been played very well by anyone else.
No, you couldn't change him, though.
So, yeah, genuinely, those two would amazingly cast.
Mm. Was it? What some quotes that Tim Allen said? Is that, what did you say inside out? So I'm trying to think of something that Arnie would say. Arnie's voice. So need some Tim Allen quotes from that, but we just say it in Arnie's voice. Is that what you're looking up?
No, I'm just having a quick look at 90s TV comedians. Well, you could have had Adam Sandler.
Oh, I was just thinking that in my head. I couldn't remember his name. Yeah, Adam Sandler, yeah.
Adam Sandler. Dana Carvey from Wayne's World.
Yeah.
Oh, God, what's his name? From Wayne's World, who played Wayne. And played Austin Shrek. Powers. Michael Myers.
Mike Myers.
Not Michael Myers. Mike Myers.
Michael Myers. That's a different movie, isn't it?
Oh,
Michael
yeah.
Myers in Galaxy Quest.
Ray Romano, there you go, from Everybody Loves Ray.
Yeah.
Would have played a fairly good one. But the point is,
he would have been pretty good, actually.
He would have worked really well. But the point is, you could have got rid of him quite easily, but those other two were so perfect for their role.
Well,
I wouldn't see it working without them.
Name a female actor of that time period in sci-fi who isn't Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah, fair enough. I'll give that to you.
She is sci-fi, Sigourney yeah. Weaver, in my ideas. Anyway, we both loved it.
We did.
You'll forgive my impertinence, sir, but even though we had never before met, I always considered you as a father to me.
Right. Next episode, we are going to be watching
The Thing.
The Thing. John Carpenter's The Thing.
Not the modern version.
1982.
Ooh, 2 years before I was born.
Yeah, I absolutely adore this film. We've spoke about it before. Yeah, it's... Oh, yeah, great. I might even play a bit more of the game just so I've got something to talk about game-wise.
Yeah, I promise I'm not going to watch another 8 films.
But that's it, really, yeah. The Thing. Next episode is The Thing.
Yeah, the next thing's The Thing. And while we've been recording, we didn't say anything about this, but
oh, no,
we were talking about Galaxy Quest. We've actually been photographing a galaxy throughout this. So Rob hasn't seen this yet. He's seen the results of the image, but we have a telescope in his garden.
Mm.
And it's currently capturing what's called M81, otherwise known as Bode's Galaxy. And there you go, we are capturing a galaxy.
Great.
And we'll put it up on social media so you can see when it's finished. But you can genuinely see It is a spiral galaxy. That is a galaxy yeah. up in the sky, planets and a sun. Amazing.
It looks beautiful.
So you managed to get your shirt off.
So where can they find us? They can find us on Twitter/X, which is @_untitledscifishow. Or the @_varietyshowpod. There are two Twitters on Blue Sky. You just search for Untitled Sci-Fi Show on Blue Sky, and I'm never going to know what the fucking thing is.
The easiest thing is, and we will update the webpage at some point. Jesus, I'm sick of saying that. head to channel84.co.uk. You'll find all our details
yeah,
there.
It's all on there. You know, part of Studio Channel 84, along with Who Takes Socks Off and Nightly Used. And really, that's it. Email us at podcasts@channel84.co.uk. If you would like to throw your hat in for this episode's, I haven't said that wrong in a while.
No, you
this
haven't.
This episode's guess the intro, you could email me your all six, because there's six since earlier, over to rob@channel84.co.uk. If you would anyway like to just email TJ just so you could talk about me behind my back, that's it's TJ or is it Tom?
It's TJ at Channel 84,
and I'm Channel 84.co.uk.
Always open to talking about monkeys. Haven't referenced that for a while.
He'd love your monkey pics.
Send
Tom your monkey pics.
Oh, you cunt.
That's it. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Untitled Sci-Fi Show. This station is now shutting down and we'll be back in 2 weeks. May the Force live long and prosper inside of you. This was a Studio Channel 84 network show. To find more, head over to channel84.co.uk now.
By Grabthar's hammer, what a savings.